Amen. God is good. He is so faithful to show up in this place. He is so faithful to show up in this place, to be here. Father, we just thank you for this moment. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that we can come together as one, where two or three are gathered in unity, in desire to know more about you. Your presence is felt and you are here. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and make a way where there seems to be no way. Come and have free will to do what it is you would like to do. Meet us, Father. Meet us in this moment. Father, I shall become less while you become greater. This is your place. This is your stage. And you speak to these women. Father, no one knows the hearts of these women except for you. So you can get down into the nitty-gritty of their heart. And you can speak to the place that no one knows. Even themselves don't even know. And you can touch that place even now through revelation, through understanding, through your incredible love for them. Father, this is not a corporate meeting here today, but this is a unique individual meeting that you come and meet with each lady in their place, in their pain, in their cry, in their joy, in their laughter, in their struggle, in their fear and doubt. Father, you come and you meet them in that place, Lord, and you cover them. Father, I just cover every woman in here with the blood of Jesus, Father, that no weapon formed against them shall be able to prosper. Father, your word says that with long life you have satisfied us with, that no disease shall come upon us in any way, shape, or form. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it's live and it's active and it's sharper than any double-edged sword, that it has the ability to penetrate both bone and marrow, joint and spirit, and nothing is buried, and everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes to him we must give account. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Today we start number three of Found or Forgotten. Amen. I'm excited. This series has been really, life-changing to me in a lot of ways, just showing me things in my life that, you know, I have found in my forgotten place, and how God is all about restoring. Amen? He's not just to come and pat us on the back and say, oh, child, you're so good. No, he wants to come and restore. He wants to come and make all things new, and I love that because that's transformation. That's life-changing. That's what God wants to do in our life. He doesn't want us to continue to live in the past or continue to take steps backward. He wants us to move forward in his presence. And we want to take steps forward because when we move forward, we move more into the likeness of who Christ is. Amen? Today's topic, now the title on your actual page is not written right, but that's okay. Because I just bless Carolyn. She does these for me, and she's amazing, and I'm so thankful for her heart to take my messed up outline and make it this beautiful page that completely makes sense and has complete sentences. Amen? Yes, English was not my best subject, especially writing. So the title of today's message is Don't Let the Small Stuff Think You've Forgotten. I think in just that message, people can kind of get where we're going to go this morning. Sometimes when we are called to something that's not glamorous, something that's not big out there on center stage, you know, where you have the lasers that come up and the smoke bombs that go off. Sometimes when we're not called to that kind of lifestyle, we tend to feel forgotten. We tend to get in the thought lies of being forgotten because, well, if I'm not noticed, then I'm not found. Come on. If I'm not noticed, then I'm not found. We're not found. But I want to tell you something here this morning. Nothing gets you more forgotten in your life than your own thoughts about yourself. And you can tweet that if you want. Nothing gets you more forgotten in this life than your own thoughts about yourself. Amen? Ladies, the small stuff is the foundation for what's seen. The small stuff is the foundation for what's seen. Maybe you're not called to preach. Maybe you're not called to be on a stage somewhere. But maybe you are called to pray for the one who does preach, so that that preacher can speak the word of God according to what the Holy Spirit has enabled them to say. Come on. Or maybe you're not called to, you know, maybe you're called to encourage. And you think, oh, I'm just an encourager. That's just what I'm called to do. Encourage. Well, that encouragement is huge, because that encouragement could be the thing that causes the person that needs that encouragement to help bring the cure into your illness or into your life. So that encouragement could be that thing that gets that person to the next place so that they can do what they're called to do. And in return, it might be the thing that saves you. What if we lived life like that? We think as women that encouraging another woman is taking away from ourselves. I don't know where that comes into mind. Like, if I encourage you, or if I bless you, or if I say something to you, or, you know, that kind of takes away from me. But really, ladies, it's going to bring it back sevenfold. It's just stepping out of that place of, I don't know my identity, I just, and going into, I trust God's identity, knowing that He's going to bring that around to me when the timing is right. Amen? Yeah. We're going to get right into the Word. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Yes, we're going Old Testament today. 2 Kings is after 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. I know sometimes I get confused. 2 Kings is after 1 Kings. You're going to go to chapter 5. I am really excited about this message because it has to deal with someone that's little. It actually has to deal with the child. And the child is the example for us today. And Jesus says, let us look to the children. Let the children lead us. And so, in all the times I have written down sermons or Bible studies, I've never had a specific teaching regarding a child leading us. And this one is a child leading us in the ways that we should go. And so I'm excited about it, because I love it, because it's a fulfillment of what Jesus says later in Scripture when He says, let the little children lead us. Come on. The Old Testament is just a foreshadowing of what's to come. So 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 5, if you're there, say amen. This is a powerful story of a young girl who used an opportunity given to her to do something great. So we're going to read 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip down and read, well, let's just see. I might read a little bit more. Okay, here we go. Chapter verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. Amen. Because through him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Oh, man. His biography is really, really good. His resume is fantastic. I mean, goodness gracious, what could go wrong with this man? But he had something. He had an issue. He had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. And she served Naaman's... Let me get my glasses. I know, I'm almost 40. What's going on? And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Verse 4, Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. And then you can read that on your own. Let's go on to verses 14 and 15. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as a man of God had told him to, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young man. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all of the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant. I want you to understand this, because after he was cleansed and his skin was like a young boy, not like an old man that's kind of wrinkly and been browned by the sun. I mean, he got a full restoration. Come on. I think sometimes in our life we just are like, Lord, can I just come, you know, for 50? If I could just look like I'm 40, you know, if I'm 60, if I just look like I'm 50. But if you really want the truth of God's word, when you're really restored, you're restored to complete youthfulness. Amen? I just kind of wanted to say that. Okay, so he's there, he's cleansed, he's completely restored by Jesus, by God. And he goes to Elisha and says, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So at that moment, he received what you would call Old Testament salvation. He recognized that God was God and that he was the only God, and he does save and deliver his people. I want you to remember that, okay? Okay, so just real quickly, I want to talk real quickly about this little girl. I want to give you some facts of this little girl because she did something that was very valiant. And so we're just going to go back and talk about her situation and where she is in life and do some little research because, you know, I like to get down in the nitty-gritty of it. Facts of this little girl would lead you to think that she would have responded to this opportunity given to her, not in the way she did. You'd think that she would have responded with maybe some revenge, some anger, some bitterness, some frustration, some sadness, some loneliness. You'd think that she would have responded to this opportunity given to her differently than she did. Why? Because she had been taken captive. Do you remember that? This girl, maybe 12 years old, maybe 13, maybe even younger. They don't give the age. They say a young girl. So she had been taken captive, taken out of her home, taken out of her city, out of her country. And she was taken captive by bands from Aram. And she was called not only to serve, but she was called to serve in Naaman's court, in Naaman's home, which is the enemy at that time of Israel. Okay? So I find it interesting that she responded the way she did with that opportunity and not with maybe her emotions or how she felt. Now, taken captive, let's talk about that for a minute. To be taken captive means imprisoned or confined. Now, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree here, ladies. We can relate to this. Everyone in here has felt captive to something one time or another. Everyone in here has felt imprisoned by something one time in their life, whether it be fear, sickness, loneliness, depression, anxiety, self-afflicting thoughts, perhaps pride. We've all been in a place where we have felt captive, taken out of our comfort, taken out of what we know. We walk through a time where we just have to trust God, where we just have to know that he's going to part the waters and allow me to walk through. Everyone has been in a season in their life where they have felt imprisoned or held captive by something that's not familiar to them. A place where you have felt lonely. A place that can make you feel the emotions I mentioned earlier. Bitter, upset, disappointed at where life has taken you. Maybe even full of anger. But this young girl teaches me something so different here. She didn't allow her captivity, she didn't allow her situation to keep her mouth harnessed and her ability to speak good news. Now, look at verse 3 real quickly. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. She did not allow her captivity to keep her mouth harnessed in order to speak a good word to someone else that was in need. And not only a good word for someone that was in need, but a good word to someone that had taken her into this place of captivity. Her mouth was not held captive. So she used her captivity to proclaim God's healing power for someone else that was in need. Now we're going to go a little deep here, so I want you to really stay with me. This little girl used her place of captivity as a position to speak a God word to someone in need. She used her place of captivity as a position, as a stage, as an opportunity to bring healing into someone else's life. And I want to ask the question, how many times do we get in this situation where we all of a sudden shut off the flow of good news coming from us because things haven't worked out the way we thought they should? And because they haven't worked out the way we thought we should, I'm just going to stop the flow of good news coming out, and I'm just going to be quiet and silent. And God is like, over here, like, ah, there's an opportunity here, an opportunity for you to be moved into the next dimension of your walk with me, to perhaps even save your life. Come on. And we just shut off because we just don't see, you know, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living according to the word of God. We just don't see it. And so we just shut off. We just shut off the word of God and the good news going forth. Do we do this in our life? I am guilty. I'm going to raise my hand first. This amazing thing that this girl did, her ability to speak what she spoke landed her to her purpose. Because this little girl's famous. She is famous. Oh, the young girl who led the valiant soldier to the healing of his body, the young girl who told him to go to see Elisha, the man of God, the man that would cure him of his leprosy. This is a famous story, guys. This story is told for generations, generations, generations after it happened. This is an amazing thing. She will always be remembered in this place as serving in a place of captivity. Now, I want to talk about leprosy for just a minute, because at this time, leprosy was probably a little bit like cancer is today. It's something that eats away, cancer eats away at the inside of your body, wherever it is it's at. Leprosy eats your skin. So what it does is it eats up your skin, making you vulnerable to infection, which ultimately causes the death, is eating the way and open you up to infection. So leprosy was a very serious thing at this time. And I feel like as I read this, and as I thought about this, I thought, you know, we don't see leprosy anymore. You know, you don't see leprosy anymore. I mean, that's very rare. In fact, people say, oh, well, the armadillos carry leprosy, you know. But they seem to have really good skin. So I really want to challenge that. Nice and hard and really protected. But I thought we have a different kind of leprosy that's plaguing our world today. A leprosy that eats away at our hearts. The leprosy that eats away of the truth of what's right in our hearts. And it's doing it to the church. Eating away little by little, the truth of the word, the truth of what God came to do, the truth of what it is he has for you. That's why it's so important to continually feed yourself the word of God so you know what's truth, because the Bible says that the truth will set you free. You got to keep yourself in the word. You got to keep yourself constantly seeking the face of God, his direction, what he's doing, what he wants. I'm all tangled up. What he wants to do in this situation so that you know that you are truth-driven by his word, and you're not being lie driven by this world. We can't allow a feeling of captivity to bind up our mouth from God's spoken purpose. I want everyone here to tell yourself and others, get to the God of Israel. If we would say that to more people, it's as simple as that. What's wrong? Oh, I have this, this, this. Get to the God of Israel. He will cure your issue. I mean, we make everything so big and humongous. But really, when it comes down to it, what saved this man is that she said something very simple. You got to get to the right place. You got to get to the right doctor. The right doctor is God, and he's going to restore you. And then when you get there, he'll tell you what to do. And it might seem a little odd, but trust him, because it will deliver you. Get to the God of Israel. He will save you. Lead people to the truth you know is there, even when you don't feel it or see it in your own life, because it must be just in the doing that you are set free. Sometimes in our own life in captivity, we may not be seeing that. But But maybe in the doing and obedience of the opportunity given to me, just might be the place where I am set free from what I'm asking and believing for. Am I preaching too much over here? Y'all getting some here? Okay, just making sure. Don't want to leave y'all out. Y'all are so pretty over here. Wow. Perhaps Naaman came back blessed, overjoyed, skin like a little boy after dealing with this yuckiness. Skin like a little boy. He came back to that house. I guarantee he came up to that little girl and said, "Oh, little girl, thank you. Thank you for using your opportunity in this household to send me to a place that I am healed." Perhaps in just a moment, her captivity or her place of pain turned into a palace. Perhaps where she was serving in humility and in captivity became the place where she now is wearing a crown. Come on, who am I preaching to this morning? God wants to give you double for your trouble. He wants to give back what the locusts have stolen. He wants to do the things in your life that his word says. But sometimes it's in those opportunities given that we have to press through and trust. This girl is mentioned as a servant to Naaman. Is she not? Actually, Naaman's wife. She is called to serve, but her serving is what gave her the opportunity to tell Naaman's wife about Elisha. Her serving is what gave her the opportunity. Now, we look at sometimes as serving as a burden. Come on. Sometimes we look at serving as a burden, and I believe that God puts certain opportunities in our life every day, all the time. And we look at them as more of a burden, but really he's offering us opportunity for breakthrough in our life. So a prayer that you could constantly say on a daily basis is, "God, help me not to see my serving as a burden, but help me look upon it as an opportunity to bring a good word to somebody else, because I know that in return, you will bring that sevenfold back into my life." Amen? And if you don't, I trust you with me going through with what you asked me to do. Man, God is good. We think serving is our prison sometimes. We're just going to go there. But serving is what gives us opportunity to do the incredible work of our God. So thank him for the opportunity. Thank him that you can wake up in the morning and give your husband coffee in bed. Thank him that you had a husband to give coffee in bed. Thank him that you can wake your children up at the crack of dawn and take him to football practice when you're super tired and you want to push snooze 8 times. But you're thankful that you have a child, because you had many miscarriages in your life, and you're thankful that you have a child to get up in the morning and to take the football practice. It's all about your perspective, not your problem. Serving is not the prison. It's the opportunity. Serving is not the prison. It's the opportunity. It could lead you into your purpose. It could lead you into your breakthrough. It could lead you into that next place that you've been asking and on your knees for God to take you to. Change your place by changing your perspective. I say that a lot. Change your place by changing your perspective on that place. Now, let's go a step farther. How in the world did this young girl know about Elisha? How did she know about what God could do through him? Because if you think about today's world, I don't know if I could necessarily say that my children would be able to say, "Go to God, he'll heal you." I mean, I'm just talking about our generation and where we're at and the influences that we have on the young people and all the things. and all the gadgets and all that stuff, you know, and we try to teach them the Word of God, and we take them to church, and we pray over them, and we speak the Word of God into their lives, and we do that. But ultimately, I find it very interesting that she knew of Elisha being a young girl, and she knew that he would heal this man. She had such faith. She had seen it with her own eyes. She saw it, and she knew that this man would be healed. And I thought, what in the world? Why? To be someone that knows good news, ladies. To be someone that has the good news in them. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you are born of Christ this morning, you've invited Jesus into your heart, you've got good news in your belly. Everyone here has something good to share. Because now you know, go to God. He'll save you. Get to Jesus. He'll deliver you. You got fear? Take it to the cross. You got pain? Lay it at his feet. Everyone here has a good news to share with somebody, to share with someone that has a situation of need, to have that info, to have that revelation of where to go, to have that knowledge to speak into life, healing to somebody is an incredible thing. How did she have this? How do you know the good news? How do you know the good news in your life? How do you know this? Are you ready? Have a listening ear. Now, I didn't say go to Bible study or church or listen to 25 podcasts every single day. Because you can do that and hear nothing. You can do that and hear nada. But to have a listening ear means to have a heart that is open to receive what God is saying. Don't just turn it on and be like, okay. Listen, have the Holy Spirit open your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me your will. Teach me your ways through this. Whatever you want to say to me, help me to learn from you. Help me to see you in this situation. That is having a listening ear. So then, when there's an opportunity given, you say, hey, I got good news. I got good news. I have the answer. I have the answer for you. Have an open heart. Ears to hear, a mind to understand the good news. I pray that every morning in Bible study. I think I forgot this morning. Uh-oh. Did y'all? Ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to receive, and a mind to understand that which you are speaking to us, Jesus. So when opportunity comes to you, you know what to say. You know what to do. Now, verse 4, I want you to go back and look at this real quickly. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. I found that very interesting that a valiant soldier, a soldier regarded as very favorable in the eyes of the king, you know, goes to the king with this servant, captive little girl who gave him this information and asked the king for permission to go. And I mean, when you really dig down deep, and you sometimes you'll just read this and be like, oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. But when you really read it, you're like, what in the world? This is not normal day activity. This is not normal stuff happening, you know? You don't have the President of the United States taking keynotes from a little girl. This is an unusual thing because it's a God thing and it's a God-appointed season. What made her believable? To first Naaman's wife, because that's who she spoke it to first, and then to Naaman, what he would go to the king for permission. What made her so believable? I believe she was one who carried a good reputation. Why? Because she was from Israel. Israel had a reputation that God was God, that God cared for his people, that God had parted the water so they could go across on dry land, that God took him out of the desert and the wandering and took him into the promised land, that their God fed them from heaven with manna for so many years while they wandered in the world, that God delivered them from Egypt, that God restored to them what the locusts have stolen, that he took them to the promised land, that he healed their people, that he constantly was taking care of them, that he fought for them. That place had a reputation. This little girl had a good reputation because of where she came from. What kind of reputation do we let off? Do we let off a reputation where people can come and believe the word of God that is in us? Come on. Do we have a reputation where someone would come and say, man, I believe what's in you and I'm going to take it to the cross? She had a reputation because of where she came from. What do we give off? What do we exude every day in our places of serving? What kind of attitude do you give when you're serving? Because that's the place where people will believe. That's the place where people will believe. Now, how did anything that she did benefit his eternal purpose? Because this is all about eternity with God, right? Everything we do now is, yes, to live the fullest life that God has for us, according to John 10:10. I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you at the fullest, to live out the calling on our life, to do the thing, to run the race that is marked out for us. That is the desire here. But the ultimate desire is to get everyone into eternity with Jesus. Amen? So what did she do to benefit his eternal purpose? I read it. Are you ready to read it again? Verse 15. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. Not only did Naaman go back to the man of God, but all his attendants. He stood before him and said, Now I know, without a doubt, that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Wow. This little girl's opportunity in captivity to speak a good word not only transformed her master's life, but transformed his entire household and his attendants. It's like a domino effect. Ding, 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 ding. The power of God goes beyond sometimes what we see. The power of God reaches out beyond what we can see. I believe that the word that goes forth in here goes out past these metal walls. And I might not ever see it. I might at times, but I might never see it. But I trust that it's going out and doing a deeper work than even I can imagine. This world could be saved if we just spoke up and said, I got good news. There's all this bad news everywhere. And everyone talks about the bad news. I'm so sick of going up to people and I keep getting caught, hearing people talk. And all they bring me is bad news. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so's sick. Or, you know, so-and-so is, you know, going through a rough time. And, oh, you know, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear that. Yes, I'll pray for them if you're asking me specifically to pray for a situation. But if you're just going to talk about it, I want to talk about good news. Tell me what God is doing. Tell me what he's doing. Let's speak some faith into situations. Let's speak life back into this world and say, there is a God in Israel that will save us, that will deliver us, that will cure us of our infirmity, that will save this world from the leprosy, eating away the truth of our hearts. That there is something more that God is doing. I challenge you today to not bypass an opportunity to speak good news. She didn't waste God's time, and he gave her opportunity to shine. She didn't waste God's time, and he gave her an opportunity to shine, to be a light in darkness. What do you see as your captivity? Just think about that for a minute. What do you see yourself right now imprisoned in or captive by? And let me tell you what, you know it. Oh, you know it. It's that struggle every day. Wherever your captivity is right now, I'm going to challenge you to serve there. Serve there. And see opportunity arise for a good word to change a life. See that captivity as a place to serve. And use a good word that God has spoken to you to save a life. And remember, it wasn't just one life. It was a lot that day. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you that you are a God of overflow, that you are a God of abundance, that you are a God of increase, that you are a God of looking for one man to do a mighty thing. You sent Jesus, but he saved the whole world. Father, we thank you that it's all about the fruit and the growth coming from that place of transformation, and that the seed falleth to the ground and it dies, but then it comes back, and then it dies again, and it comes back, and it dies again, and it comes back. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you multiply. You multiply, Father, in places where we see pain and death and hurt. Lord, that opportunity, that captivity, Father, you multiply in that place when we see it and view it as a place of servanthood and opportunity to speak life. Father, you multiply that place. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the good news of your word. We thank you that we can come before you and ask of you anytime in need. Without abandonment, we can just come before you and say, God, your word says to come to you, and I come on a bended knee. I come in humility. I come to hear from you. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, and direct me into righteousness, into truth. Stop the leprosy of my heart. Stop the leprosy from eating away the truth of your word. Help me to know the truth of who you are. We praise you for this day. We praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.